title will be decided on the final day of the season. It's advantage City, and United will need a favour from Mark Hughes' Queen's Park Rangers if they're to become champions for a 20th time.
Hello and welcome to Red Voices, the official Man United podcast. I'm Mark Sullivan from MUTV. This week I'm joined by Steve Bartram and Paul Davis from United Review and Adam Marshall from the club website. Coming up in today's show, we look back at how United kept their title chances alive against Swansea after City beat Newcastle last Sunday. We look ahead to the final weekend of the season where the title could still go to either the red or blue side of Manchester. We hear from the manager ahead of United's trip to Sunderland.
We can only do our best and try and win the match, and hopefully something stupid happens with City.
We congratulate Warren Joyce's reserves on becoming the best in England after their penalty shootout victory over Aston Villa. And finally, we look forward to the Player of the Year awards and Harry Gregg's testimonial. So United still in the title hunt after beating Swansea 2-0 at the weekend, but City won at Newcastle by the same scoreline, Adam, and we were really hoping for a better result than that from the Sports Direct. We all thought maybe Newcastle could do something.
I think so, and it was horrible watching it, and the longer it went on, the more agonising it got, really, and we were in the press box by the time, you know, the game was still going on with no sound on it, and just seeing them score those goals was pretty deflating, really. You can only imagine the players felt the same way. They admitted they watched it beforehand, and all credit to them. They came out professionally, did the job, got a couple of goals against Swansea. A lot of people were speaking about ramming 8 or 9 goals past Swansea, but I never really thought that was ever going to be on, to be honest. You can't sort of disrespect teams like that. Swansea are comfortably in mid-table. They've had a good season. They're not just going to go out and get battered, are they? It doesn't really work like that, unfortunately. So we got the game won. That was all we could do, really, in the circumstances. Another clean sheet. And we move on to the weekend, still just about alive. So.
Yeah, Steve, like Adam said there, it was all credit to the lads that they came out and still were professional and got the job done, because we were disappointed. The fans were dejected. You had a sense of an anti-climax, really, ahead of that Swansea game.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can see it on the face of every fan on the way into the stadium. You know, I didn't watch a Newcastle game, just trying to avoid it on purpose. But I knew the result without even hearing it, just from judging everyone's reaction on the way in. It was horrible. And that deflation had to be shared by the players. I think you could see it in their body language as well. I mean, I think Scholes didn't even celebrate when he scored. I mean, there was one or two, like Ashley Young running in the net to get the ball. And that was the attitude to take. It was never really on, was it? But they made a good fist of it. They had a few chances. I mean, Chicha missed a couple ordinarily he wouldn't have done. And if you get a couple more before half-time, then you never know where it can go. But like Adam says, Swansea are a good team. They're nobody's mugs. And it's, on the face of it, it's a good win, but just not what was required.
Yeah, Chicharito had three chances, at least, I think. Last season, they'd have gone in, Paul. It just didn't quite happen for him against Swansea.
Didn't quite happen for him. Didn't quite happen for a few other players as well. I think Rooney missed a good chance.
Great chance in the second half, yeah.
And, you know, that's it. It would have been nice if we could have racked up 5 or 6 goals just to make it interesting on Sunday, on the last day, but I don't think it was ever really on. Same as Steve, I didn't listen to it. By the time I walked from my car, where I knew it was 0-0, because someone had just texted me to getting halfway to Old Trafford, they were 2-0 up and it was all over, and it just completely changed everything. And like you said, I didn't see one single smiling face walking into Old Trafford. I think everybody was dejected, but not so much. That was more of a resigned look on people's faces, I think, because the damage was done at City potentially against Everton.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of results we look back on when we do the season's review later in the month. But that Everton game, we keep talking about that. That was the killer. 2-goal lead going into the last 7-8 minutes of the game, and then throwing that away.
I guess,
if we'd had 2 points there, we wouldn't be in this position.
The fact we hit the post, didn't we, as well, 4-2, and then seconds later they went up and got one back. So you can do that and look back at the other games. Wigan, we got beaten, and Blackburn at home, we ended up getting relegated, didn't they? You know, they beat us here at Old Trafford. So I think you can go back and analyse. I'm sure City could do the same. They could look at matches where they lost, you know, Sunderland scored in the last minute against them and that kind of thing. So over the course of the season, you have to accept that whoever does finish top has been the best team. We had the chance, we had it in our own hands, we went to City. All we had to do was avoid defeat at City to still have it very much in our own hands, and we couldn't do that. So, you know, you have to hold your hands up. They did a good job you know, going to Newcastle and beating them, to be honest, that was a hard game, and they did that, didn't they, on Sunday?
Yeah, well, it was fantastic to go there and win. I think only Chelsea have won there this season.
Two, I think they've lost twice.
Yeah. Lost twice, right. Yeah. Thanks. Well, to go there against Newcastle any time and win is hard, but especially Newcastle team going for third place with a win and in really good form, so fair play to them. You know, if they do win it, then they deserve it.
Yeah, but Newcastle did go to Chelsea in midweek, another tough game for them against the team that they're battling for the place, after going to Wigan. So two away games in the build-up. So that's, it looked like a game too far for Newcastle for me. Yeah. They had all the bluster and everything that you expected of them going for the win, but they just didn't have enough to get it.
Shame that game didn't come a few weeks earlier than maybe. It might have been a different result.
Well, if that come midweek and then they played Chelsea at the weekend, but it's just little bits of luck like that, like when you play teams can contribute to. So
and we had an 8-point lead and blew it. So
there is that as well. That's one match of the 8-point lead.
In terms of, I'm talking now as if we've lost the title. Let's not forget that we can still win this league title. We'll talk about the final weekend games in a moment. But when you look in the season as a whole, we could finish with 89 points. There's a lot of positives to take.
I know. I mean, we've done superbly well, especially away from home. When you consider the year before, obviously we weren't so effective on the road, really. There's not too many areas you can fault the team with, really. We've done most of the job, beaten most of the teams around us, apart from City, crucially, obviously, in the two games. And it's going to come down, hopefully. Well, not hopefully, but it could come down to goal difference, you know, and that would just be it. There'll be, you know, just how many goals have gone in compared to, you know, the points tally we've actually matched City. So, you know, we'll look at it doom and gloom because we support Manchester United and we're used to glory and winning all the time, but I think it's been said today that, you know, a lot of other teams are probably killed to be in this position to be going for the league title and just to get edged out on goal difference. We've got to put things in a bit of perspective.
Well, if you're talking about perspective, then the fact that we've had so many problems this season with injuries and illness to Darren Fletcher as well, you know, losing your captain for all but 10 games in a season and you're arguably your best defender is, you know, a core figure in your team is so damaging, and yet we managed to, thanks to Johnny Evans largely, continue to put in a title charge. And the only thing that will be separating us from from several hundred million spending City is goal difference.
I think like City have had no injuries in comparison. I think it's a fact that they've had the least out of all the teams in the league. And, you know, even coming out of the game against City, Welbeck gets injured, we lose him. We've now lost Evans, haven't we? You know, Smalling's injured and they don't seem to be picking up any. Mm-hmm. So next season that'll change, hopefully.
Yeah, so while talking about the Swansea game there, we couldn't help but sort of analyse it a little bit about the weekend. And we will go into the final weekend's game in more detail now, because the title still could go to United. It still will probably go to Manchester City. Sir Alex Ferguson, though, is remaining optimistic, but he says that something stupid will have to happen at the Etihad for United to land a league title number 20.
Straight to the injury list. Chris Smalling said a bad injury from last week. We tried to take him off, but then Rio got a knock and he decided he could stay on, he thought. Anyway, that Smalling's going to miss European Championships. Torn groin muscle, which we're assessing at the moment in terms of what we do with it. But certainly he's got a bad injury. I can play Phil Jones back in there with Rio, obviously. Rio's okay. Welbeck's still out. But he should be fit for European Championships. Other than that, everyone's ready. And obviously, last game of the season, everybody wants to win their last game of the season, but you know, any different. Well, it'll be more important for us, of course. We can only do our best and try and win the match, and hopefully something stupid happens with City.
Sir Alex, is there anything that gives you optimism that a result can go your way at Manchester City?
Do you know what I was doing 29 years ago? Today?
29 years ago today. I'm trying to work out the maths on that.
I took a wee team Aberdeen to beat Real Madrid in the European final. We had 11 players, homebred, and the oldest player was 27 years of age. That's Queen's Park's challenge. It's Queen's Park Rangers' challenge to do an Aberdeen. Of course, it's Dodds are stacked against them, sitting in good form. They're at home. It'll not be easy for them because the pressure on them will be enormous. The fans will be putting the referee under tremendous pressure. And it's not going to be easy because on the face of it, you expect City to win. And so do I. But as long as human beings are human beings, you never know. You just hope something stupid happens.
So, Paul, the boss was in very good mood, actually, during his press conference, and he knows the size of the task ahead, doesn't he? He knows that, as he said, something stupid would have to happen at the Etihad because QPR go there with the worst away record in the Premier League and they're playing the team with the best home record.
Well, people have been saying this week that it's a great thing that QPR need the point to stay up, and that, you know, that might well prove the case, that they'll be desperate for it, so they'll, you know, they'll absolutely give everything that they have to give. But then they played a game against their biggest rivals, their main derby, only a couple of weeks ago, and they got walloped 6-1 by Chelsea. So it doesn't really bode very well. And I think most
cheers
United,
for that, Paul.
I think most United fans that obviously going to be watching the game or travelling up to Sunderland will be thinking, well, let's just win our game and hope that something goes our way. And I think that's the way the team are going to have to approach it. Just play the game and then worry about what else happens afterwards.
Yeah, like you say, first and foremost, we've got to do our job. It's no point us drawing to Sunderland or hoping that something happens to City and having not beaten Sunderland.
No, absolutely, you've got to do your own job. I mean, Paul said the key word there, hope. All we've got is hope, really. You've got to hope that somehow Paddy Kenny and company become world beaters and go and hold out like they couldn't hold out here. You hope that nerves get hold of City and, you know, they blow it. And, you know, you hope that United can get the 3 points as well against Sunderland. I mean, they're woefully out of sorts anyway, aren't they? I think they haven't won for seven games.
Seven or eight games.
So, they've looked tired every time I've watched them in the last couple of months. So you've got to be hopeful, even with injuries, of United going there and getting the win. And sadly, that's not the main event of the day. The main event's at the Etihad.
Yeah, much better to be playing Sunderland now than earlier in the season when Martin O'Neill first came in and galvanised them. Yeah. I mean, they had two of their best results against Manchester City, funnily enough. That last-minute winner at the stadium,
yeah,
alive, which
great,
we were all cheering,
yeah.
And then they drew also at the...
I think for Sunderland, I mean, some of my family are Sunderland fans from my wife's side, and they, when they got knocked out of the FA Cup, it was very deflating for them. They put a lot of stock in that this season, and when Everton beat them at home, I think they're expected to go through from that after drawing at Goodison. And although, to be fair, the game after that, I think, was a City one. They went and drew 3-3. But, you know, apart from that, they have slumped a little bit. It's probably one of those periods where they know they're safe, aren't they? Players are playing for their future a little bit, but they've got other players like Bentner who are on loan there, and I think he's been left out recently. So, yeah, I mean, you'd hope that they'll want to put on a good show for their own fans, but Martin O'Neill tends to, well, he has done this season with Sunderland. When they play the bigger teams, he shuts up shop and goes for a 0-0. They seem to do that, you know, against City in the game they squeaked with a 1-0 goal.
And
also Spurs. Spurs as well, they just played a really dour 0-0 draw. So if they do that, it won't be very entertaining. I'm hoping being the last game, they'll go attacking at us. And
they want to
put
on a show for their fans, won't they? It's the last home game of the season.
Yeah.
They need to give the fans an incentive to come back and watch them next time.
I hope so. I don't think it's much for them, the eyes of the world will be on this game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is an opportunity for them to showcase what they can do and make a lot of headlines themselves. So why not go for it?
It's set up for a fantastic Sunday of football. All the games kicking off at the same time, 3 o'clock kickoffs, Paul. So, like you said, the whole eyes of the football world will be upon everything that's happening because there's so much to decide on the last Premier League day of the season.
Yeah, I think it's great for the league in general that there's so many issues to be resolved, and you know, if one gets settled early on, say, you know, City scored a couple of early goals, all the attention will then shift to like relegation places and like, you know, the fight for the European places. And I think it's great for you know, United fans won't care less. There'll only be one issue on our minds. But you know, the neutrals and all the fans around the world that make the Premier League the league that it is will be watching every aspect of it. So should be pretty exciting.
Can we make Steve a case for QPR getting something? I mean, you say you hope Paddy Kenny and the rest turn into world beaters. They've got players like Adel Tarat, who on his day can be a world beater. Joey Barton, who is a good player despite what people may think of him after his use of various social networking sites and his general persona, sometimes it can be seen. But they have got some talented players there, haven't they?
They have, but you know, they are where they are for a reason. You know, it's just hope, isn't it? I mean, they can, if you're looking for hope, they came here and they defended really, really well. The more you think about it, I think we only won 2-0. There was obviously the first goal where they got Derry sent off, and it wasn't a penalty, it was offside. And they had that mentality where they just said, right, OK, we've got no chance now, we'll just have to sit and defend. And they put two banks of four, a four and a five, across the middle, and they just held out as long as they could. And United didn't make that many chances. I mean, I think we all came away disappointed that we'd only scored 2 against 10 men. But they defended really well that day. So if they adopt the mindset of going and, you know, just trying to squeak out a 0-0 and stay up, then it's probably not going to happen, is it? But you never know.
But how much do we also need Bolton to start winning at Stoke? I mean, if Bolton are 2 or 3 down by half-time at Stoke City, then QPR won't need to win.
I think so. I mean, you know, you'd hope Stoke obviously lost to QPR, didn't they, last week as well, so they're having a big say in this, but I think maybe they lost to Wigan last season on the last day as well. So you might hope that they're not the sort of team to do a favour that time.
Stoke will be on their jaw loose by then.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they're certainly quite strong at home. I think it's really in our favour, if there is anything in our favour, that QPR need a point. If QPR needed to go there and win, we'd have had no chance because they'd have had to attack City, and that wouldn't have happened. The fact they can just sit and somehow eke out a 0-0, yeah, would be enough for them. Does give you a slight, well, a tiny, tiny bit of hope.
And they can look at how we defended there as well, because apart from the company goal from the corner, I thought we defended really well at City, to be fair. So just watch that game back and just defend
the
allies.
From
the first minute. Yeah, from the very first minute, just hoof it out of the stadium. Just attack, attack, attack.
It's certainly to be an exciting Sunday for the players as well. And Stuart Gardner actually spoke to Patrice Evra for MUTV, and this is what our captain had to say.
Pat, first of all, what's the mood been here this week as we build up to the last game of the season?
In the beginning, it was down because, of course, I think we expect a better result from Newcastle. But in the end of the day, I think we have to focus on ourselves and make sure we have a good result against Sunderland. We don't have choice. If we want to keep believe in the miracle, we have to win against Sunderland. But I think we have just to believe, and to believe is make sure we make our job against Sunderland, because in football everything can happen.
Do you think Queen's Park Rangers have got a chance? They need a point to survive.
I will be honest with you. I think first of all I want to focus with Manchester United and make sure we win against Sunderland. That's a fact. But after, I think it's a big game for QPR, because in that game you can see a champion or someone going down, and it's a different game. Like, you know, some people maybe was thinking Newcastle have more chance to win against City than QPR, but QPR they play for save their life, and it's different. It's now it's more pressure, and they need only 1 point. And every game they play in the same time, because Bolton play as well on the same time. You can cheat. You have to play and make sure you get your point. You know, I think it's a massive game, but I just say to myself, if I was Manchester City, I've got the last game at home, I will definitely win the game. But to play against a team they save their life, I think is not easy, and that's why I still believe we can be champion.
You're 8 points clear with 6 games to go. So unlike United to let that slip. Why do you think that's happened?
Of course, I think the last 3 games when we've been 8 points clear, we play in the same way when we play in the Champions League group, when always we say it's going to be fine, it's going to be okay. You know, when we play Benfica, when we play Basel in the end, always it's going to be okay. And it was not the case. And I think we got the same problem for that 3 games, the same problem we got in the Champions League. And we do it twice now this season. I think we are just crazy. And that's why I hope City can be crazy also and draw or lose against Kubia. But it's difficult to accept that. But, you know, to looking at the past, it's gonna more hurt you than doing some benefit for the present. That's why, in the end of the season, when everything's gonna be finished, maybe we're gonna talk about this and say, oh, we can be 8 points clear and now being same level and point with City. I just think we just kill ourselves. We just kill ourselves.
So Evra remaining positive and hoping for a miracle, Steve, as we all are. If it does happen and we achieve title number 20, how big would that be? What would it mean to the club?
It'd be immense. I mean, look, let's not dress this up. We're all disappointed at the minute because we've let an 8-point lead slip and we're in the situation where we may not win the title. But if you go back to August, when you look at the churn of players, of the young players coming in, the older players going out, I think we lost something like 2,500 appearances between the six players who went. It was always going to be a transitional year. And when you throw in the injuries that we've had on top of that, you know, Paul talked about Vidic being out earlier, which is, you know, the equivalent of City's company. We've had Fletcher out for almost the entire campaign. I think Anderson and Cleverley have made 10 appearances each. You know, that's a lot of energy in the midfield there has been missing. When you put in all the other injuries to everyone else, to Smalling, Jones, Chicha, everyone, it amounts to a hell of a handicap. And to have been 8 points clear was ridiculous in the first place. And maybe that's, you know, maybe it was too easy at that point and they took their eye off the ball a little bit. But when all's said and done, it's a hell of an achievement just to be where we are. Yeah. And the future's really, really bright when you think about it, because all these players are going to learn a lot of lessons from this season.
It feels almost fitting that we should go into the last game of the season after the season we've had with, again, loads of injured defenders, and we're going to cobble another defence together and try and get a result, because that's what we've had to do for most of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been times this season when there's been a dozen players on the treatment table, which is ridiculous when you think about it.
I know, it is bad luck. I mean, there's no other way around it, is there? We've been unfortunate. People have got injured during games and not come off because they've felt fine, haven't they, as well? And that's, you know, then aggravated things, and I guess that they're right to soldier on. And, you know, but then we've lost them. That seems to have happened with Smalling as well, doesn't it, now? And he's out of the Euros, which is obviously a blow to him personally.
Yeah, sad for him.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just hope that it gets better. We kind of just run a lack of injuries next season.
To score and doesn't. It's Johnston again. The league campaign ends in the best possible way, with United being crowned the best in England, and it's all down to Sam Johnston's penalty saving. Johnston the hero at Old Trafford. Manchester United win on penalties by 3-1.
Yeah, so United's second string were crowned the best in England after that victory over Aston Villa at Old Trafford. One, Adam, in dramatic circumstances. We all have a penalty shootout, normally when it's not involving our side, but to win via penalties was great.
Yeah, we're making a habit of it. There's two penalties wins on the trot, hasn't it? So, yeah, I think they... Johnston was superb, wasn't he, Sam?
Three great saves.
I mean, they weren't just saves, were they? They were top-class saves. You know, he had to dive right into the corner to get them away. He's done really well. I might be wrong, but I can't really remember a mistake he's made pretty much all season.
Sam. No, not
so
at all.
He's done really well. It was good to win. 3-0 on the trot for the reserves. But that said, been a bit unlucky. We didn't score. We were much better in the second half, weren't we? Last night, Will Keane nearly put that one away, and we had a couple of chances towards the end. But yeah, Villa had a strong team out as well. I mean, they had several first team players.
Yeah, four of the players who were playing for Villa actually played here in the Premier League against Manchester United.
You know, and sort of people like Barry Bannon, you wouldn't really associate with playing reserve level anymore. So a bit surprised they had people like that in there. Maybe they wanted to win it, but they didn't in the end. So, I mean, yeah, it was fair play to our lads, and there's still one more trophy to go for, of course, against
the Manchester Senior Cup, yeah, which we played at the Etihad. But a fitting culmination to the league season to lift that title, because they've worked so hard throughout, haven't they?
They have, and I think we've been going over the sort of teams who have played over the course of the season for the work for the yearbook, and you see that when we started the campaign, we had a lot of sort of first-team type players or fringe players involved. We were actually beaten, weren't we, in the opening game at Arsenal. Since then, the more the younger players have actually come in and gelled together, the better the team's performed, really. We've had a sort of the odd blip along the way, and again, that's tended to be when we've had players perhaps on the first team coming down for fitness and that kind of thing. So when we've actually had the core of the youth team from the year before together, they've done really well. You know, they couldn't have done any more, could they? Really?
So. Absolutely. It's a big summer for quite a few other players, Steve, including the likes of Robbie Brady, Scott Wooten. These all had experiences in first-team football. Mm. And I guess it's that time in their career when thinking, do I want more loan experience? Should I be seeking a move? It's a really important time for a young footballer.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to be at like a fork in the road in their careers, really. I mean, a lot of them, like you say, will want to go and maybe make a permanent move somewhere. I mean, we've seen a lot of the young lads go to Hull, haven't we? And they've thrived. I think we've got four or five on their books at the minute. And some of them undoubtedly will go out on loan. The manager loves to send them out there and, you know, show them what it's like playing for points, playing for fans, for win bonuses, and then bring them back in and see what they've learned from it. So there'll be a lot of activity, because there always is.
Yeah, Robbie Brady has come back from his loan spell at Hull in excellent form. He looks a real prospect. But for the players who won the Youth Cup, Paul, the Will Keane, Michael Keane, Sam Johnston, Jesse and Larnell, I mean, there's a lot of that group who've come together and been together from the very early ages. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with them next.
Yeah, I think so. You would imagine that the next sort of stage of their learning curve is some first-team football, potentially in the Carling Cup, maybe on the tour as well, because obviously we're going to need, with players at the European Championships and playing in the Olympics, we're going to need some players when we go on our, you know, tour, wherever we go in pre-season. And they might get a chance, and the likes of Tom Cleverley have impressed when he's played on tour before. And you can work your way into the manager's thinking. So who knows, they could do that. There's also the loan option that Steve mentioned, and I think that for most of those players that you mentioned, that Youth Cup winning team, some of them, if they're good enough, will be in and around the first team all season. Others will probably get some taste of Carling Cup action and then go out on loan, both of which have been proven to be great parts of your Manchester United education.
Yeah, but with the FA Youth Cup winners and this season they got to the semi-final and then win the Reserve League, win the playoff final, it shows that there's good strength and depth lower down the footballing ladder here at this club.
It does, and I think we're almost ahead of ourselves. I've said before, I think this season, you know, the reserves have done so well at a young age. Where do they go now? Do they spend another year in the reserves? Do they have that move out on loan? Who plays for the reserves next year? If they do, only a few are coming up, aren't they? We've only got about four or five coming up from the academy. The academy's team next season I'd expect to be really strong. By the way,
yeah, we'll have an extra year to play.
Yeah,
under,
I mean, some
level
of them have got an extra 2 years, haven't they? Like Wilson and Uanu. So I mean, you know, you've got to be optimistic that next season the academy team will be strong, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with the reserves, whether they do play a few more academy lads, whether we do actually sign any players maybe to sort of play at that level. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but I think we can all share the congratulations to Warren Joyce and his young squad. Well done, lads. United travelled to Windsor Park in Belfast on Tuesday evening for the Harry Gregg testimonial, a match you can watch live on MUTV. And Paul Sir Alex says he will take a strong squad over, which will be magnificent for the 12,000 to 15,000 fans which will turn up.
Yeah, and more importantly, it'll be great for Harry Gregg as well. It's a nice way to honour him. He's, when they talk about legends and sort of heroes in football in terms, sometimes sounds a bit overplayed, but in Harry's case, it's a genuine tag that he deserves. You know, he pulled people out of the air crash in Munich, saving a baby and a mother, amongst others, including his teammates. And you know, he didn't talk about it for 40 years, and he he's only recently started talking about his experiences. And I spoke to him last week ahead of the game, and he told me that he's going to be embarrassed and shy on the day, which. Which is surprising, because he's...
Can't imagine Harry being like that.
I don't ever imagine him being shy, to be honest. But he said he is going to be, and he's really honoured that Sir Alex has said he's going to take a strong team, mainly because he doesn't want the public of Belfast and Northern Ireland let down. He wants the bona fide Manchester United to come over. He's still hopeful that the trophy might be coming with him. And, you know, even if they're not, he says, what more can an old man want than to have Manchester United coming to play a game in his honour?
Yeah, I cannot wait for the game. Harry played nearly 250 times, Steve, United over a nine-year period. And let's not forget, he was a wonderful goalkeeper, voted the best goalkeeper, in fact, at the 1958 World Cup.
He is. I mean, we've been very lucky here to have some good goalkeepers, some very good goalkeepers. I mean, people talk about Schmeichel and Van der Sar, but for a long time, until Peter came along, I think Harry was regarded as probably the best we'd had. like you say, best goalkeeper at the 1958 World Cup. He'd only been at the club a couple of months before Munich. So, you know, it's baffling when you think of the events that he went through, really. I mean, one, to survive a plane crash in itself is crazy. And then just the first reaction to pull six people from the wreckage. It's incredible. I mean, like Paul says, sort of heroism's an overused word in football. You know, someone clears it off the line, last gasp, and it's a heroic challenge or whatever, or goal line clearance. But he's a proper, actual hero in life. And he's often referred to as the reluctant hero because he doesn't like to be seen that way. But I'm, tough, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Like it or lump it, he's going to be deserving of everything that he gets on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and a name forever etched into the history of this club.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he'll always be associated with Munich, won't he? And I think, was he a world record signing for goals?
He was from Doncaster, yeah.
So, I mean, he obviously came with a big reputation, I guess, as well. And, you know, it's great that he fulfilled that on the pitch as well, didn't he?
He tells a tale that in his first game, within, like, the first 5 minutes, somebody hung a cross up in the air. And they were used to Ray Wood, who was generally a goalkeeper that stayed on his line and let the defenders deal with it. And out of nowhere, Harry came running off his line, flattened Duncan Edwards, which is no small feat. And rather than get a shouting at by the captain, Roger Byrne ran over to him and said, "Keep coming, big man, keep coming." And that sort of set the tone for his time. You know, he says that, you know, the wetter it got, the more he came for crosses almost. So he's just, you know, he's a brilliant character and he deserves this more than anyone. And he will be embarrassed, and you can tell when you're talking to him how embarrassed he will be, but he deserves it. I mean, it was organised in his without any knowledge at all. He didn't know it was being organised for him. The George Best Carrie Duff branch organised it and then told him it was happening, which is, you know, he's not going to turn it down. And he just, you know, he deserves this night.
Absolutely, and it's fantastic for Manchester United to be playing over in Northern Ireland where we have so many fans.
Yeah, not just Northern Ireland, the whole of Ireland is you know, United daft, and I think they'll be, you know, regardless of what happens on Sunday in the league, they'll be coming down there to give United their backing because we're coming to see them.
And finally, the Player of the Year awards. We cannot forget that, Steve. A huge event, the biggest off the pitch event that there is here at Old Trafford, and we're set for an interesting night. I want to say fantastic night, but of course it's largely shaped by events of Sunday.
It will be. I mean, don't get me wrong, it'll be an incredible night if things do take an unexpected twist on Sunday and the trophy's there. But
it'll be a great night either way.
Either way, it will be. I mean, it gives you closure on the season. You get to look back on it and you see for what it really is. Then, as I said before, it's all things considered a very good achievement to be where they are, and hopefully they'll have realised that and they can enjoy that a bit more on Sunday.
Your favourite to get the Players' Player of the Year?
Well, I was hearing rumours about who might want it, someone coming. I think, you know, it's good to see all the players relaxing amongst themselves, I think, as well. I enjoy that, seeing them in their own company, you know, and having a bit of a laugh and letting their hair down a little bit after the season. It has been a long season, a long, hard season. So, you know, hopefully the awards will get shared out and everyone will get the due recognition they deserve.
And it's Paddy great Kenny. To see the Paddy Kenny player of the season keeping Manchester City to no score. Great to see the academy players and the reserve players honoured at this event as well, because it puts them in with the first teamers and they really feel part of it.
It is, and that's fascinating, even seeing who made the shortlist, really. I mean, that wasn't an easy job for Warren Joyce or Paul McGuinness to pick out the shortlist for the two awards. So, yeah, hopefully they'll go on to more silverware, you know, with the club, but it's good for them to get that early recognition and get a bit of coverage on MUTV as well.
And don't forget, you can see both the Harry Gregg testimonial and the Player of the Year Awards dinner live on MUTV. And that's that for this week's Red Voices. We'll be back for a season review show next week. My thanks to Paul Davies, Steve Bartram and to Adam Marshall. Thanks to you at home for listening as well. If you'd like to get in touch, please do so. The email address is red.voices@manunited.co.uk. Thanks for listening, and you never know, miracles can happen. Come on QPR this weekend, and of course, let's hope the Reds do their job at Sunderland. Bye-bye.